I can do it, yes. Indeed, outstanding. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. Do we have any praises or testimonies? We do have time for that, amen. Yes. The escort, yes. Wow. So they get the... Yeah, and praise the Lord. And they got the tumor, I guess?
Yeah, whatever it was.
Whatever it was, they got it. Amen. Good for her. And was this lady, in fact, in her 70s or 71? Wow. Man, oh, man, that is amazing. Yes, ma'am.
Got good word from Danny's brother about his wife that they think she might make it now.
Well, amen.
Uh huh. All like that. So
good deal.
Trying to get that CO2 out of her.
CO2 out of her? Okay. Yeah, amen. Very good. Amen. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Bo said Roger went for his first physical therapy today, and even though he's in a lot of pain and tired from that, they told him after therapy place.
Doing really well. Well, amen for that. Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Any other praises or testimonies? Okay. All right. Well, we are in the book of Judges. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Judges chapter 15. I'll begin reading here in verse 1. That'll be backtracking just a little bit, but we'll take it through verse 20. Judges chapter 15, beginning in verse 1 through verse 20 this evening. We seek to finish chapter 15 tonight. The book of Judges, or get a good running start at it anyway.
I forgot to announce what my wife asked me to do, but the tithes and offerings of slaves.
Tithes and offerings played in the chair. Amen, brother. All right. Very good. Judges chapter 15, have we found it? All right. The Word of God reads, "But after a while, in the time of wheat harvest, Samson visited his wife with a young goat and said, 'I will go into my wife in her room,' but her father did not let him enter. Her father said, 'I really thought you hated her intensely, so I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister more beautiful than she? Please let her be yours instead.' Samson then said to them, 'This time I shall be blameless in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm.' Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took torches and turned the foxes tail to tail and put one torch in the middle between two tails." Be 150 torches if you're wondering. "When he had set fire to the torches, he released the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistines, thus burning up both the shocks and the standing grain along with the vineyards and groves. Then the Philistines said, 'Who did this?' And they said, 'Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he took his wife and gave her to his companion.' So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Samson said to them, 'Since you act like this, I will surely take revenge on you, but after that I will quit.' He struck them ruthlessly with a great slaughter, and he went down and lived in the cleft of the rock of Edom. Then the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and spread out in Lehi. The men of Judah said, 'Why have you come up against us?' And they said, 'We have come up to bind Samson in order to do to him as he did to us.' And 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, 'Do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is this that you have done to us?' He said to them, 'As they did to me, so I have done to them.' They said to him," sounds like the Democrats and the Republicans to me. "They said to him, 'We have come down to bind you so that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines.' And Samson said to them, 'Swear to me that you will not kill me.' So they said to him, 'No, but we will bind you fast and give you into their hands. Yet surely we will not kill you.' Then they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that the ropes that were on his arms were as flax, that is, burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, so he reached out and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have killed 1,000 men. When he had finished speaking, he threw the jawbone from his hand, and he named the place Ramoth-Lehi. Then he became very thirsty, and he called to the Lord and said, You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? But God split the hollow place that is in Lehi so that water came out of it. When he drank, his strength returned, and he revived. Therefore, he named it En Hakkor, which is in Lehi to this day. So he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. May our hearts be attuned and open and ready to receive the portion of which you would have us receive tonight, Lord. May your Holy Spirit apply this to our hearts, teaching us, leading us, molding us, and making us into the image of Christ. Lord, may we be fashioned into your servant to do your will and to do your word out there in the world as we finish out this week. Lord, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for all that you do for us. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Well, remember, you ought to be able to tell this to me by now. We've covered it enough as we've discussed Samson's turn at the plow. Remember what's going on here, right? They were what? The Israelites, I just don't care no more, right? I mean, they were gloom, despair, and agony on me. They just didn't care if they were Israel anymore. I mean, they were just being absorbed into this Philistine culture. The Israelites were on the brink of what? Extinction as a people, as God's chosen people. And if it were not for the sovereignty and supernatural intervention of God Almighty within a couple of generations, they could have been completely assimilated as they intermarried and went into the Philistine nation, and the Philistine culture went into them, and they would just been gone. The question is why? Because they would not fight to keep themselves distinct. There was no want to be different. They just, well, we're just going to be like everybody else. A lack of conflict on behalf of the Israelites was the problem. The people of God had become indifferent, just didn't care anymore, just didn't care. They basically just laid down and allowed the Philistine nation to absorb them as a people group. The good news we said last week, and we'll say it again this week, we'll probably say it again next week. Last week we said it, this week we're saying it, and probably we'll say it again. The good news for me, the good news for you, the good news for the Israelites is that God had sovereignly decided to prevent his people, because they're his people, he's made a promise to them, his people, from becoming culturally indistinct and therefore spiritually extinct. Right? Spiritually extinct. That's not going to happen on God's watch. He would do so. He would keep them spiritually his people. He would do so through Samson. And he would do it despite Samson. And he would do it in spite of Samson. And Samson's what? Samson's many, many sins. And because of Samson, at last, because of Samson, at last, there would be some good old-fashioned conflict. Amen? Because of Samson. Last week, we talked about working through sin. Chapter 14, if you'll remember, verse 4, however, his father and mother did not know that it was the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion. The Lord was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now, at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel. We talked about working through sin. Whose sin were we working through? We were working through Samson's sin, right? Working through Samson's sin. And then we talked about last week a lion, a bet, and a woman. A lion, a wager, and a woman. Those three things we talked about, right? Samson, we concluded last week saying that Samson, supposedly the deliverer, Samson, supposedly the judge, this Samson was just like God's enemy. Just like them. And how easy for us to look at another culture and see how a member of God's people has sold out to the surrounding culture. I mean, we can kind of look down. We can kind of be prideful and puff ourselves up and look down on them and kind of shake our fingers and, you know, frown our noses and say, boy, they shouldn't have done that. But our struggle where we're at in 2019, can you believe it's 2019? Can you believe it? 2019. Where we're at in our struggle is perhaps where we have sold out to our surrounding culture and where we have become indifferent and where we are just laying down and dying and letting the culture take us along its way. Because the culture, let's face it, hates the church. They may pay you lip service, but they really hate you. I mean, they put up with you because they have to. If the culture ever gets to a point where it's in chic, where it's cool, where it's in fashion to get rid of you, you will be gotten rid of. Your Bibles will be gone. They will pile them up in the street and burn them. They will strip every piece of scripture that they can off the interweb. I mean, they'll try to eradicate you and who you are and what you stand for, right? I don't think God will let that happen. But if it ever becomes in fashion, they'll certainly try. All right? So as we begin tonight, we're talking about, and I think I do have 2 points and about a half. Going to introduce the third point, kind of leave you hanging on the third point, but 2 points anyway. The first point, we talked about last week, working through sin. Then we said a line, a bet, and a woman, or a line, a wager, and a woman. Tonight we begin with the Spirit of the Lord. And that's kind of been the kickoff to 2019, the Spirit of the Lord. What are we saying when we say that? We're talking about the Holy Spirit. What are we saying when we're saying the Holy Spirit? We're saying that, hey, this is something, this Holy Spirit thing is something that we can seek every day. Well, Pastor, I'm saved, man, I'm saved. I got the Holy Spirit in me. Granted, true, you do. But how many times do you wake up through the week and you not even think about the Holy Spirit? You just go about your day, right? Think about the Holy Spirit. Think about Jesus. Ask God to give you a fresh infilling of His Spirit. And I'm not saying you're going to get any more Holy Spirit than you already got, but just going to God and recognizing the thing in you or the person in you that connects all the dots, the Holy Spirit. You're saved via the Holy Spirit through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin. When you prayed to receive Christ, it was a Holy Spirit transaction. I mean, you were sealed. The Holy Spirit came into you. All of those things. Amen. So 2019 is a good year, and it's a good time of the year, right here in January, to think about just focusing on the Spirit of God each and every morning. Amen. Well, we see the Spirit of God in this passage, the Spirit of the Lord. Remember what we said last week and all of what was going on with Samson. God was at work in spite of Samson, because of Samson's sin, all that stuff. Why can Samson kill the lion? I mean, think about it. I mean, have you seen the National Geographic? Have you seen the big lion with the big mane? You know, I mean, everybody caters to this guy. You know, the gals do all the hunting. They bring him the kill. When he's ready to eat, he just walks up and he does what he wants to do because he's the lion. He's the king of the jungle, man. I mean, a human man does not just come up to the lion and say, I'm going to rip you up like a kitty cat, or I'm going to take you apart like a lamb. That just doesn't happen. But it happened here, right? It happened with this man. Why can Samson kill the lion? Judges 14:6 tells us the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, Judges 14:6. Why is he able to strike down 30 Philistines to steal their clothes? I mean, it's one thing, you know, you just come up and co-cock somebody. That's victim number one. And take his clothes, right? But after about the third or fourth guy you've knocked down and taken clothes from, everybody's kind of figuring this out, right? Well, you ain't taking my clothes. Come on, right? I mean, everybody just kind of figures it out, what's going on. But how does he do it? Why is he able to strike down 30 Philistines to steal their clothes? Judges 14:19, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. God is giving Samson superhuman strength. Superhuman strength, the one thing that he needs. Samson's character flaws are his own, but he needs this supernatural strength. He's got the mouth. He's got the bad attitude. He's got the, you know, the want to get in there and mix it up. But he needs this supernatural strength. Why does he need it? So that he can cause, so that God can use him to cause the division between Israel and the Philistines, which God's people, though they do not realize, they are in need for separation from these pagans, right? It's kind of like they don't know. They haven't figured it out. And God's what? Figured it out for them. Amen? So God is starting to save his people by divorcing them from their marriage to their idols and to the world around them. But how can God use such flawed people? How can God use such flawed people like Samson to get his work done? Shouldn't he only work? I mean, shouldn't God only work with people who are good? Shouldn't he only work with people who are godly? Shouldn't he only work with godly men and godly women? Shouldn't he only use the people who have the right beliefs? I mean, that have the, I mean, they're right with God and they have the right behavior. I mean, shouldn't that be who God uses? Well, maybe from our perspective. But remember, God, as much as we try to sometimes put him in one, God is not in a box. God is not in a yard of our devising. He's not in a building. He's not in a warehouse. He's not in anything that we have devised to kind of keep him or hold him. Always remember, God is not in a box. Amen? Saying God only works through the godly, saying God only works through the right, would mean he is limited by humans, and he's not limited by us. God is not limited in any way by us. Does that make sense to you? We don't limit God. Does that make sense? We don't limit him, right? Humans don't limit him. If he was only allowed to work through good people, then that would be a limit on God. Saying God only works through the godly or the right would mean that God does not work by grace. And he does work by grace. He takes the initiative to save. But if we were to say that God only works through the good or God only works through the right, we would say that good works kind of motivate God to work with us. And that we know that's not right, right? You know, God's waiting on me to clean my life up so he'll save me. And we know that's not right. God takes the sinner and saves him. God convicts the sinner of sin. And then it's a lifetime of being cleaned up and made more into the image of Christ. Does that make sense? Amen? So let's try to apply this truth for our day. Judges is above all a book about grace. Well, you get in this section right here and you say, Pastor, it seems like it's a book about death and mayhem and destruction and killing. Yes, on the surface. But if you look beneath the surface, Judges is above all a book about grace. It's a book about undeserved mercy. It's just like Judges is just like the Bible in which it's located. I mean, the Bible, the representative message of the Bible is one of grace and mercy. Amen? The representative message. Now, we know that God's wrathful. We know that God is just. And we know that God is coming again to judge the world. But the representative message is grace and undeserved mercy. However, just because grace and mercy are available, that does not mean that we can behave any old way we want. Any old way we want. And then expect there not to be any negative consequences and suffering. How's that for a double negative? But you get my drift, right? We can't just act any old way we want and not expect there to be consequences. Oh, well, I'm just going to do what I want because of grace and undeserved mercy. It's not going to matter. Oh, no, 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 friend. There will be negative consequences and suffering, right? We still suffer from our sins. Does everybody get that? We still suffer from our sins. We still suffer from our sins. We don't lose our salvation, but we still suffer from our sins. We still suffer. We still suffer from our sins. Grace, mercy, still suffering from our sins. But we can rejoice that God is also in the great business. God is also in the great architectural endeavor. God is also in the great business of using our failures as the foundation for His successes. That's what's going on here. Do not ever think or imagine that we have God figured out. Please don't ever come to me and say that. Well, Pastor, I've got God all figured out. I mean, I want to be nice to you, but I gotta tell you, if you come tell me that, no, you don't. I tell you in love, you don't have God. No, Pastor, I've got the Bible all figured out. Or that you come to me and you tell me, I know how He will work next. Really? Okay. Well, you hold your breath. Okay? You just hold your breath. Or I know when He will work. Or I know how He will work. The amazing truth about God, the amazing truth about the Holy Spirit, the amazing truth about the Godhead, think about it, the amazing truth is that God is at work. God is at work. The amazing truth is that God will continue to work. He will continue to work. And we usually discover the power of His working. We usually discover the examples of how He has worked when we're looking back, hindsight, when we're looking back over our lives, when we're looking back over the situation, and we say, that was a God thing, or we saw the hand of God move, right? The amazing truth is that God works through sinners and through sinful situations. He keeps His promises to bless His people in the dark and disastrous periods of our lives, as well as through the times when things are going right. That's an amazing God. That's a gracious God. That's a good God. Not even our own sin will stop Him saving us or using us. He wants to use us. He's going to use us. If we're saved, we're saved. Amen? Mysteriously, often unseen, and usually far beyond our comprehension, God works through the free choice. God works through the free and very often flawed choice that we make as people. He works through it. Amen? Romans 8:28, be reminded, you know the passage, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. Amen. You love God tonight? That's a good spot to be in. Well, the Spirit of the Lord, and then secondly this evening, the leadership, or leadership without peace. Leadership without peace. We see, as we've read through the balance of Judges chapter 15, what do we see? We see the violence is ratcheting up. Retaliation after retaliation. You see any forgiveness in there? Not much forgiveness in there. See any reconciliation in there? Nah, not much reconciliation. It's a familiar story to us, both within family structures and on national levels. How sometimes we operate as families, we hurt the people we love the most, and how we sometimes look at our political system out there. You got this retaliation, tit for tat. I mean, it just ratchets up. It's just crazy. Each action prompts a reaction, which brings its own reaction, and the seemingly unbreakable cycle continues. And so, cue the Philistines, it's their turn. Samson's had his day. And now the Philistines are fed up. They've had enough. He's burnt everything. Everything they could make to eat. He's taken all of the food and chunked it. I mean, Samson's gotten rid of all the food. It's all been burnt. I mean, the vines, everything are gone. And so the Philistines, hey, wait a minute, man, what's going on? Who is this guy? Who is this Samson? So they begin to try to figure it out, right? Amen? Judah is so keen, the tribe of Judah, they are so keen to remain at peace with the Philistines that they have no idea that God has raised up a judge to save Israel. The Philistines take up arms and they make camp in Judah. Chapter 15, verse 10. The men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" They're talking to the Philistines there. And they said, the Philistines, "We have come up to bind Samson in order to do to him as he did to us." The men of Judah may bear the name of God's people, but they would rather live at peace with the world and worship their idols than be freed to worship God, and they would rather cut down their own rescuer than risk confrontation with the world. Look at verses 11 and 12. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is this? What then is this that you have done to us?" He said to them, "As they did to me, so I have done to them." They said to him, "We have come down to bind you so that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines." And Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me." Right? So they tie up their own judge and they take him to the Philistines. Verse 13, so they said to him, "No, but we will bind you fast, give you into their hands, yet surely we will not kill you." Then they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. Again, though, what happens? What has happened in the past? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. We've already seen that, haven't we? Here it is once again, verses 14, 15, and 16. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that the ropes that were on his arms were as flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, so he reached out and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. And then he basically taunts them here. Then Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps. Look at you. I mean, you're piled up. I'm killing so many of you. I've got to stack you in piles, heaps upon heaps." He's taunting them, right? With a jawbone in his hand. Anybody else? I mean, I've got four stacks of 25 or 250. Anybody else want some? The jawbone's still going, right? He's just taunting them. Heaps upon heaps. With the jawbone of a donkey, I have killed 1,000 men. What's amazing here in this passage that we've read tonight and we're looking at in some detail, for the first time, Samson the judge, for the first time, Samson the gift, he's some kind of a guy, he's a sinful guy, but he's a judge for his people. For the first time, Samson speaks to the God who has chosen him and empowered him. Look at verses 17 and 18. When he had finished speaking, he threw the jawbone from his hand. Apparently, there were no more takers. And he named the place Ramoth-Lehi. Then he became very thirsty, and he called to the Lord. Notice that. He called to the Lord. And he said, "You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised." But notice his prayer. His prayer is neither humble, nor is it a faithful prayer. What does he do? he basically demands. He demands that God help him, and he complains that God doesn't, which is remarkably clueless of Samson, because guess what? God has helped him the whole entire time. God has been helping him, right? The Spirit came upon him mightily, right? I mean, how many times has God's Spirit rescued him? God's Spirit has rescued Samson from a lion. That's a major feat right there. From a lost bet, that's a major feat. And now from 1,000 Philistines. Samson uses God's strength. Listen to this. Samson uses God's strength, but he does not depend on God except when he is in extreme situations. Samson uses God's strength, but he does not depend on God. Make sense? Yes. Does not depend on God except when he is in extreme situations. Guess what? How long it will be when Samson speaks to God again. He's not going to speak to God again until Judges chapter 16, verse 28, when he is blind and trapped. That's a long time, isn't it? Yet even then, God is at work through Samson and provides the water that he needs in the present. God split the hollow, verse 19, 15, chapter 15, verse 19. God split the hollow place that is in Lehi so that water came out of it. When he drank, his strength returned and revived. Therefore, he named it En Hakkor, which is in Lehi to this day. We'll look them up for you if you want to know. Yeah, I don't have a note on the different names here, but we can certainly look those up for next time. En Hakkor, which is in Lehi to this day. Jawbone, okay. You got a note on that? Very good, amen. Thus refreshed, what does Samson do? What does Samson do? Verse 20. So he judged Israel 20 years, but notice what it says, in the days of the Philistines. It's not the leadership of the earlier judges, is it? Not even close. He's not saved Israel from spiritual or physical oppression. Basically, it is still the days of the Philistines. So he's just kind of a figurehead that goes around and does what he wants to do. And God is what? God's going to use him mightily, right? The last thing I want to introduce to you, we won't cover it tonight. We'll just talk about it a little bit before we get into our prayer time. We'll begin with this next time we come together. Gift giving and fruit growing. Gift giving and fruit growing. Gift giving and fruit growing. Got it? Gift giving and fruit growing. Again, Samson is gifted by the Spirit in a remarkable way. Killing 1,000 armed men with a jawbone is no easy feat. But if Samson has God's Spirit, shouldn't we see him growing in holiness? If he's got God's Spirit, shouldn't we see him growing in peace? If he's got God's Spirit, shouldn't we see him growing in patience? If he's got God's Spirit, shouldn't we see him growing in humility? Pastor, if the Spirit of God is coming on him mightily, shouldn't we see him growing in self-control? Shouldn't we? Well, that's for next time. Amen? Let's have a closing word of prayer, and then we'll have a prayer time. Huh? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. As we get into a time of intercessory prayer, we pray that you speak through us and help us, Lord, as we lift these requests up to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we do have an opportunity to pray in your name. And, Lord, that you're faithful to hear us. It's in your name. Amen. All right.